Welcome to Keep the Hotel Empty. Today we've kept the hotel empty to welcome in Brockford Lee, musician, all-around creative, and man about the Sarasota world currently. Brockford, welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, stoked to have you. So I know you're getting back into releasing some music and writing some music here, but right. I know that creativity has been a common backbone in your life for quite a while. So if you could kind of, what we like to do is press rewind, take me back to when creativity starts to become like a nice anchor in your life.
Well, like definitely when I was young, I was always doing stuff with, you know, either like painting, making stuff mostly though.
Yeah.
I got really into taking apart electronics and, like figuring out how to like make music go through like the phone receiver and stuff like, you know, but it's always just been everything. Like music sort of came from things like that, playing with keyboards and stuff. So like my youth was like a lot of it was all this technology, and then my father was a pastor, and so we had a drum set next door.
Nice.
Right next door to it, and we have a pretty musical family, so there was a lot of that going on. I from my perspective have had no musical skill, so I always was creative and made music and didn't really show it to anyone for a long time.
How old were you when you started like getting after just messing with electronics and things?
Before I could even really remember. But I know that I started making like hip hop beats when I was about 12, I think. And I'd been writing that stuff before. I actually had a strange introduction to music just in general. We only listened to like Christian music in our household, and mm-hmm. I gravitated towards hip hop because I felt I couldn't sing and I wanted to perform like my musical family.
Ah.
And I also had a lot of trouble communicating. I still do. Like it's a day to day thing, but I found a way to kind of say whatever I think. And have it be also art at the same time,
right?
And sort of that was kind of my in to creating anything musically.
What was some of the early hip hop that exemplified that to you? That like, oh man, that you started to find your way into.
Okay, well, let's see. I mean, everyone knows the obvious reference if we're talking Christian music of DC Talk. They were a rap group initially.
Yes.
So you have that, but the ones that really like got to me were there was like PID, SFC, which this dude Chris, he's just phenomenal rapper. Like from my standpoint, that's like the Big Daddy Kane of like gospel hip hop or whatever, you know. And I'm trying to think of who else. There was some great. Oh, D Boy, you got to mention him. A lot of greats though. A lot of these people are like, you know, they're pastors now and I'm friends with them on Instagram and stuff. And it's like, it's wild to see, but yeah, that's like my introduction to hip hop, my legends, you know?
So what was that? That's where you started doing gospel hip hop. That was some of the first stuff you started writing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it was nothing. It was just me and my cousins messing around, but
yeah, right.
I always, it like gave me a tool that to this day that I keep with me that I can go to express. You know, if I've got something to, that's probably my easiest, like, in. If I've got something I need to get out of me. It's like, all right, I'm feeling this. I need, like, especially aggression. That kind of lends itself. But, yeah, just to real quick throw that together and have it feel like something. It's, like, a really good, like, release for me creatively, you know.
Was that a new experience for you in your life at that point? Had anything been like that?
I would have to think it was. It was so long ago. You know, the memories are really...
Yeah, yeah.
I know a lot of the facts more than, like, you know,
remember the feelings. Yeah, yeah.
But I always was drawing and painting and making stuff and dressing up. That was a huge part of my thing, too. Like, everything was just always... take whatever's there and make stuff.
What do
I think I always got that from on like small little, whatever I was doing.
Any place you could grow that seed. Right. What do you think the impetus for that was? Just like, did you want to try to stand out, or was it just a matter that you wanted your individuality to be something that you didn't have to keep inside, or?
I really wanted to be around people. I just wanted people. And I couldn't talk. I really couldn't talk. Like, I talked to my parents and my family at home, my extended family. Mm-hmm. But in public and stuff at school, people assumed that I did not speak. So I wanted to find a way to speak to people or draw people in to be able to communicate, basically.
Right.
That was a huge thing with me when I was a kid, because it was like, how do you talk to human beings? I didn't think of it that way then, but now I actually do.
Yeah, right.
So I think it was communication more than anything, wanting to be heard, feeling like I didn't have a voice, which I genuinely didn't at that time.
So was your desire to perform so that you could share that voice whilst you were on stage and not in a conversational way? Was that the idea?
I don't think it was at first. I think the impetus behind going on stage was just to be like my dad, or just to be like my cousins, or, whoever I was emulating at the time. Later, I started to think more in those terms, later in my life when, I had some grasp on what I was doing musically.
It's always only some grasp.
Steer it, but yeah.
So once you started getting stuff to kind of cobble together with your cousins, and you were realizing that this was going to be a vehicle for you to have a voice in a way you could be more comfortable with, what was kind of the next step from that?
Well, from that, that's when I grew up in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and that's when we moved to Florida in 91, I want to say.
That's an interesting time.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. And that really wasn't something I pursued or did anything. I was playing sports. I was that young, but over the years, like, the same thing was true in Sarasota, that I just had a real hard time communicating. And when I got to high school, finally, like, I found other people who rapped. And then something started happening with that, because I wasn't even involved in that scene in any way, shape, or form, but I knew I could communicate that way. I knew I could fit in that way. So I used that again to, have a voice or to find people, and it worked. And from there, things happened.
So when you came down here and you started mm-hmm. to meet other like-minded people as far as making music, was it Christian-centric music then
too? No, it wasn't at all by then. When I was young, I had a pretty clear, break from religion, like very, very young, that has, not necessarily been a clean break my whole life.
Right.
And not that it needs to be or anything. But
exactly.
It was just something that I just kind of went, and continued my life, as I saw fit. But at a young age, I didn't have any idea what the implications of that could be later to my, more mature brain.
Of course.
So I didn't take everything into account. But I hadn't really, thought in those terms. Like, by then, I was all, it was Wu-Tang. I mean, Wu-Tang was out
Go.
There. And so it was.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I mean. Yeah, I know every word to all the first, solo records.
And, you remember the first time you heard a Wu-Tang track?
Oh, I don't remember the first. You know what? I think I do. It was, after school at this kid Luciano's house. And I think he had, it was Liquid Swords for sure. Jizz's Liquid Swords.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's Fourth Chamber. But yeah, the song blew my mind. It's got that wavy, It's
yes, sir,
that.
I do.
Oh, man. It really started making me think in terms of making beats, because it sounded like the stuff I could make. What I was doing then, I was still making stuff. on as we got computers, you know, I started out with like the, you know, those little gray box that they had the audio recorder. I don't know. It's way back. There'd be like a little gray box with a green wave in it that you could record sound in.
Yeah, right.
So I would record, you know, drum loops or whatever and clip them so that I could copy paste to make them like a minute or two long. But then I'd find like bass lines and try to match them up and then layer it. And it's all one file. There's no undo, you know?
Yes.
But I did that for a long time. So like in those days, like hearing something like that, you know, really challenged me to like try to find new tools for that. Cause you know, music wasn't ever the forefront or like the thing I was doing, but it was always a huge priority, you know, in my life. Mm-hmm. And then at certain times it became what I was doing for several years.
What would you say the nature of that is? You got shifting forefronts, or music was just never able to take that kind of route, even though it was always something you were passionate?
I think it was there as I like maybe started to use it as more honest creativity. I kind of felt like more vulnerable about it than I had when it was just flippant and just, you know, whatever I'm doing, just spitting some rhymes, you know,
making it to make it.
Right. Right. Like when it had stuff about like, you know, what I'm actually feeling and like what the struggle actually looks like, you know, especially to a kid, you know, when I was trying to do that the most, I was, you know, 15 to 20, like the real push for that whole career, you know. Yeah, it got serious. You grow up real fast. And yeah, it's a lot, and a lot to learn from higher up people who come from a completely different place than you, and you know, gives you some paranoia and stuff, you know?
Oh, that's inevitable, I suppose. Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about what that growing up fast is like, because I think that's something that people don't necessarily understand, and then it's one of those things that kind of looks different for everybody in some ways.
Well, I think mine's unique in that I had that side of my life, and then I had a pretty normal other side of my life. Like it was pretty balanced that way. But as far as I kind of have always done a thing where my family and the people really close, I don't really tell them what's going on, especially when I was younger. Didn't want eyes on everything I'm doing because you know how that goes. So, you know, not even necessarily doing anything crazy, just like, you know, it just, it was better if I could just operate freely.
Yeah.
I will say though that like that side of my life, I wouldn't change that at all, because like I learned how to like, I don't know, even like work a job through that. Like, you know, that kind of discipline. To this day, I still use the same writing techniques from that to write every other genre of music that I write. So it's like, the stuff I learned from that has shaped everything. You know, you know, I grew up in Ohio, and my family comes from like a Mennonite, Amish Mennonite background. And that's why we were in Sarasota with Pinecraft and everything.
Okay.
So to go from that to a little bit of the rap world and, you know, was a pretty crazy juxtaposition with like no real stop in between.
Right.
So to me, it was just the world is like this, you know? But that giant shift, like kind of was the first time I like saw, oh, I can be two completely different things if I'd like. And that kind of opened some things up for me creatively, you know, after sort of the rap died down, which was, yeah.
So what's that crossroads like? Now you've kind of got a lot of the ingredients, and now you've had some experience and some things that you've witnessed giving you a lot more pieces of the puzzle. What was it like when you hit that moment?
Well, I've always looked at it as like, whatever I'm doing, I should make. if it's weird, whatever. So like I was in Sarasota, and my cousins had a band, and I lived down the street from what I consider the best local band of all time, Simon Said. This was in the 90s, and so I like knew that crowd and I knew that stuff, and then later I moved with my cousins to Atlanta, and they were pursuing music there, and I sort of saw like how rock music does it, you know, versus hip hop,
mm-hmm.
Like some of the ways they do it, and I kind of saw a place for myself in that, like strictly like talking about booking shows and promotion, stuff like that. So I kind of saw an avenue into it that way. And then being around those tools, I started picking up guitars and, you know, making whatever my weird stuff is with those new tools, you know. And it gradually just became, you know, it started out as pretty much like hardcore, like a lot of breakdowns and screaming. But then it became like my attempt at pop music, you know, which it still is today, you know. I don't know.
That's when you were in Atlanta and you decided to get like into clubs and doing the booking and things like that, at that point, were you still thinking, I want to make music? Or were you doing that because it was like, okay, this is my way to be part of the music scene, and this will be a great way for me to be a positive part of it, but I don't have to stress?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, I saw a way to be a part of it. A big motivation. I'm a hopeless romantic. So a big motivation for everything is just like relationships and, you know, what's going on in that realm. And so like as I got tied to certain people, like I went certain directions as well.
Ah.
And it kind of, I don't know, but I didn't really start doing that promotion stuff so much in Atlanta. I was still doing hip hop at that time.
Oh.
So me and my brother from here were going, like during that time, we had to go to New York to shoot a video. We're still doing hip hop. It was just like end of 2001, which in New York, I mean, the end of 2001, but.
Right.
Yeah, but.
All the story.
Yeah, right, right. And so, you know, we were still doing that. And, but I did get, you know, I got the taste of being in both worlds a little bit and just seeing like, all right, there's a lot of stress when I think about things in terms of what has to happen in like the hip hop stuff. And there's a lot of, I don't really fit into the image of this, you know, for my underground hip hop stuff that I was, you know, prime candidate. But as far as taking it anywhere where, you know, it was headed, I wasn't really, you know, trying to do that. There was already an Eminem, like from my standpoint, he beat me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was an interesting time for a lot of reasons, but you know, being in hip hop, that was a time for sure. Okay. Mm-hmm. So once you get to Atlanta, that's where you start picking up guitars.
Yeah, I did. I learned the open chords, but more importantly, like I just started partying. I'd never partied like during my teenage years, never done social things at all. So like that opened up a lot too. As far as like my songwriting, I had like just being involved with people was like amazing. It was like, there's so many stories. Like how do people not write songs?
Right.
You know?
What do you think makes you feel that way?
I think it's just at my natural base, whatever I am, like stripped down everything else, I think songs would just come out. I think that's just the thing. I think melodies, little hummed whatever that I sort of obsess over in my head and add layers to and all these different, is just what happens. And, you know, I do my best to put them into machines using instruments and different tools. But I think that's my essence, is just like sound. Sound does things to me that I don't think it does to other people. And it's fascinating. It's sometimes disturbing. But
Do you mean like a synesthesia type thing?
It is technically synesthesia. And people talk about synesthesia like it's you know, terribly hard to grasp or like imaginary possibly, but you know, we all do have synesthesia.
Like 100%.
You know, when you plug your nose to eat, there's an obvious difference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a million things like that. But basically, it's just physical sensation from sound. And mine is primarily like in parts of my brain. So there's a note just above that's, it's not D, it's just above D, it's not like a note that hits a part of my brain that is just real nice, just wonderful. It's a great place to be. But it's stuff like that. Like I have to be cognizant of how much, you know, noise goes into me and, you know, cause that stuff affects my nervous system and everything because that's, you know, it's a real thing that happens to me, you know. It's wonderful though. At times it can be so amazing.
Pardon me.
Not a problem. Especially at like a live show and like I'll be listening for a little bit and then something will just hit and I don't even remember. I'm in a different world for a while and you know, that's my weird little fun time.
Yeah. It is. I think I know somewhat of what you're talking about. Yeah. Do you remember when you first started to identify that? Was that something that you like vaguely noticed as a kid and then could put more of your finger on as you got older?
No. I assumed everybody had the same sensations. I didn't know it was different at all. Only this year did I find out all that stuff. I had some stuff earlier this year that was, just bizarre. Involved a lot of stuff. I blacked out a couple times basically. Mm-hmm. And we did some MRIs and perfectly healthy brain.
good to get that one ticked
yeah,
off.
Right?
Brain, good. Next.
Healthy human brain.
Yeah.
But yeah, some neural pathways are just different and whatever. But we found out stuff like that, you know, the sort of synesthesia stuff. And like, I don't have a mental picture as well. So that's like, I assume that dreams in movies were like, that's what dreams in movies were. Like, I didn't know that people had dreams that were vivid and like things happen.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause mine are, they're like things happen, but I just thought it's like this sort of hazy nothingness. So that was something to find out too. It's like, how would you know that everybody else, you know, isn't exactly like that, you know?
Right. Yeah. When you have no frame of reference, right. Like you and can't internally compare it.
Exactly. So it doesn't actually change my life, you know, at all. It's interesting to know those things though. You know, I can be more aware of like what situations I put myself into.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's not one of, you don't have the type experiences where like, you know, certain chords will cause you to see certain colors or certain notes or certain shapes.
No, nothing like that. It's like, it really is just like a, I don't know, a feeling like a, I don't know,
like
just a muscular.
Something in harmony.
Right.
That's
what it feels like. Just in harmony with whatever frequency that is like physical frequency or, you know. Which if I start going down that we're going to go way off the rails.
Well, to be dead honest, it's not really, you wouldn't have to worry about me anyways. It's going too far off the rails. I have a visual impairment and I've done everything my life with my ears and I have similar experiences where certain things will give me like extreme frisson, like my whole arms will light up. You know what I mean?
Definitely.
So, and I've been blessed to work with a lot of really creative artists who had, you know, things like synesthesia where they'd see certain shapes for certain notes or certain colors for certain. That's why I asked you that.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Because it's one of those things like color blindness that people experience on a kind of big continuum.
Yeah, definitely. I always think of like senses. I haven't got to meet that many people who have those things, and that would be so interesting.
Yeah.
It kind of appears to me that senses are kind of on a spectrum as well. It's like everything appears to be that, you know, you kind of get the same spices and like some are like heavy on something else or like some, you know, some people don't eat cilantro.
Right.
you know, so... But, like, it's definitely interesting. Like, I don't see it as, particularly special or anything, but because I've had it my whole life and right. not really known. But yeah, it's something to be very aware that the physical sounds around you are affecting things in your actual brain. You know, like it's yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's all the water too. I mean, yeah, the vibrations definitely. Is still moving through you.
Definitely.
So, was that something that when you were making hip hop and early on in the days, you know, since you had always had it, was just kind of part of the fold? Or when you started to play guitar and do some other things, that really started to become more apparent to you, your like connection to it?
I think it really, the big eye opener for me was playing bass.
Ah,
for some reason, deep tones, like they resonate. I can feel them more. And when I picked up a bass, I don't even consider myself that good at bass, but I do write some pretty interesting lines, and I'll just sit there for hours and play the bass because it just feels good to me. Just yes. sit in front of, it's got to be a real good amp. Just, you know, almost subtones. Just, yeah, that's a good afternoon for me. but I'm direct in this week, so that's nothing. You can't even get the feeling.
I was gonna say, it's not quite the same.
Yeah, but yeah, I think that's where I had, like, I was like, oh, I feel this, like, this is, you know. And then looking back, well, that's what I always felt with rhythm, you know. Mm. Like, it's so natural, it's so just,
that's where the making beats out of the gate comes
yeah,
in.
Yeah, exactly. The ability to rap just without thinking. Or when I started playing guitar, like, I didn't know that some folks, like, learned to strum, like, strumming patterns and stuff. And, like, that was just, that I assumed, I was just, well, of course, you just, whatever. It was just natural. It was natural rhythm. And I'm still a rhythm player, like, guitar-wise. But yeah, just, I'm pretty much all rhythm. Sometimes I come up with good words to put on top of it.
Yeah. Sometimes yeah. there's a part B.
Right.
So when you're making these songs, do you have like preconceived notions when you're going to write, or is your creative process more, I'm just going to try to let what comes out today?
Well, it used to be, I'm going to let whatever comes out, like early on when I was just really taking like rock music, indie music seriously, which was like 2007.
Mm-hmm.
I all of a sudden taught myself to learn the guitar really quick after a bad breakup. I lived in Nashville. And so I started recording myself all the time. And my cousin lived with me and he was a drummer. He wanted to be a drummer in Nashville. It's the whole reason we went. I had no musical aspirations when we moved there. So I just started recording stuff and putting it on MySpace. And it was whatever came out, whatever it was. Different genres, different anything, you know.
Because you had no preconceived notion.
I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I had no control. There was no intention. It was my best to sound like the bands I listened to, which were like, not even good bands. Like, it really, like, it's embarrassing to go to that taste. Yeah. But I mean, they're decent bands. But like,
yeah.
I know that I thought I could sing like the guy from Cake.
Yeah.
So I was trying to like find a way that I could be a singer and like sort of that crooning thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I found like a place in that a little bit. But like, I was just trying to make pop songs, and they were turning out like, at that time they were turning out like 60s garage rock, like psychedelic music and stuff, but it was my attempt at making rock music, you know. So at that time I would consider my career, and others had told me this, like that it would be considered like sort of outsider, very outsider art, like almost folk art.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no training, there's just, you know. And I try to not lose that at all as I've gone on past that to now. I do have very, you know, direct intention on what I want to say and what, you know, what moment I want to reach in this song.
Mm.
'Cause that's really how I write, is moments. So now I know how to start from one place and end up exactly where I want to be. At that time, that was a concept that would never have been reached, because whatever your hand does next on the guitar was what I would do, you know, just naturally.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you. You know, you got points where you kind of taught yourself to make beats, kind of teach yourself to rap, you kind of teach yourself to play guitar, mm-hmm. teach yourself to find a way where you can get into sing. That's an interesting pattern. What's your thought process like when you're getting into these things? What's the open-mindedness that you have when you're like, well, I'm just going to do something I don't know what the fuck I'm doing?
Oh, damn. Shit. I think it's just like stupidity is real high up there. No, just like blind faith in myself. Like, I just know that as far as there's a bunch of stuff I can't do. Like the stuff like communicating with people one-on-one, that's real tough for me. But I know that if it's a skill that I can look at other people doing, I know that I can do that unless there's some physical like impediment between, you know. So the only difference between me and them at that point is like a lot of hard work, which I'm willing to give freely to something if I'm like, if that's what I want to do.
What do you think that attitude's born of? Because I think you're really hitting a nail on the head there. There isn't a lot that separate us. There ain't nothing to it but the doing it portion of the show. But some people sure. can't really feel that way. How is it that you think you've been able to maintain that sense?
I definitely have a competitive streak. And I mean, coming from hip hop musically and having that be my real basis, you know, battle was a huge part of it, you know.
Back then, for sure.
We were battling like crazy back then. And I mean, everywhere you went, people, it was crazy. And so you get that mentality of, you know, the minute you see somebody, you think about their shoes and you think about, you know, like some it says on their shirt that you can have it mean something else. And you know what I mean? You got your list of stuff. It's like, you don't even know if that guy raps, but like,
but I'm ready if he does.
Yeah, exactly. But I hope he does.
Yeah. Battle rapping used to be so much fun. Tell me a little bit about that, because that's something that not a lot of people remember, a time when battle rap was just like part of the scene.
It was everywhere. There was a lot of stuff like late 90s going into the early 2000s. You had the underground was such a major, I mean, it was so vibrant.
It was awesome.
And they were angry too, because like they wanted in. It's like, you know, they had that like righteous indignation.
Yes, good way to put it.
Yeah, and I totally, like, that's my scene. Like, my favorite records come from that underground scene, you know. My favorite record of all time is Fun Crusher Plus by Company Flow. And so like, that's like the, that's where I see like my real identity stemming from, that like battle underground, whatever. But yeah, it was, battle rap was so popular that, I once in Sarasota won one at, that building that's across from McCurdy's.
Mm-hmm.
It's been like a bunch of different stuff. I think it's called The Vibe, maybe. At that
I was going to say it's been a bunch of things.
Yeah. I won one there, but that was years after I rapped. It's like $100. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, when we were really out there, it was, you'd almost get confronted. I look back at it now and it's kind of lame, because it's like, we were having like little musicals, like, oh, you catch me outside, like the back of the back of the venue, and like, it's bars time, you know?
Yep. 100%.
But it was great, because it gets the blood pumping. If people don't get out of hand, like, it's always cool.
Right.
You know, it gets heated. And, you know, I'm a walking target sometimes in that environment. But, like, I loved it. I loved it. I wasn't the best, but I knew I could take some people down.
Yeah, and it was fun as hell.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So how much of your upbringing and the things that are the juxtaposition to what you're seeing as you're maturing in your creative journey, how much of that was playing into you? Were you thinking, man, this still seems like a huge juxtaposition? Or did you get to the point where you felt like you'd transitioned away from some of the limitations of the world you came from?
Yeah, definitely. I hid my entire hip hop like past when I went into rock music, like professionally, like where I was actually, you know, on stage and you know, that group of friends, like my Nashville people, well, I hid it from them. They eventually, one of them found my my rap video and showed everybody. But
the internet never forgets.
Exactly. You know, it wasn't that. I just didn't talk about it a lot, because I think I've always wanted to be you know, considered an artist, and I didn't want to seem like I don't have a perspective. Which is kind of accurate, though. I mean, I have a perspective. It's a bunch of them.
Yeah, know? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm curious about. You know, with growing up in a Mennonite world where there are a lot of, you know, preconceived notions to certain things, when you break away from that and your life flowers away from that, do those thoughts still linger? Do you still think to yourself, man, I'm in some juxtaposition universe, or does the change become more normal?
I think having both in my head has become normal.
Okay.
Having something telling me like, this is not what we do, this is not how to go about things, and then having the other voice be like, no, this is how we do things. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I've just got comfortable that they both exist, you know, and that, you know, how I'm going to feel about having the voice that doesn't like what I'm doing. I mean, not that they're literal voices. It's starting to sound crazy.
No, but everybody, I get what you mean.
The drive, whatever it is.
100%.
Okay, is that going to really actually hurt me? Or is that just a little bit of discomfort while I do what actually needs to be done?
There you go.
Yeah.
That's a huge mentality shift right there.
Yeah, that's the big one. I mean, that one's new.
Yeah.
That one's real new for me. I think I've always had the ability to do that. I can just put it into words a little bit better.
Gotcha.
I always have two things that don't seem to gel, like going on usually at the same time, and I'm comfortable in that because I view it as balance. Like if I've got all this positivity and all these wonderful things to say, and I do, and that's like what I want my, like, whatever I put out to give people, but in order to have that positivity and be balanced, I also have to have this negativity. And so how do I channel that not into actually being negative, but, you know, I do it by making angry music too, you know? And I've always found that like, while I'm doing both get better.
Yeah. I think that's really valuable insight. I think a lot of times people's vision of balance is trying to find some center instead of being comfortable with the full continuum's existence.
Yeah, it's kind of like I'm not really bothered by where I'm at between them. I mean, when you get to the far end of low, you know, that sucks. But like when I get really low, I go constantly to the thought that like, if I'm experiencing this new low that is this bad, this agony, like that must mean, just by everything that I've learned about life, that must mean that the opposite is now possible for me, because I've expanded my spectrum. That side's doing its work too. So head that direction, you know.
Valuable.
But that turnaround and that walk that other direction, that's a tough one, because, but all it is literally walking. Just not stopping walking towards that.
Yeah, well, I think that's some of the, when you can find the comfort and consistency, you know what I mean? When you can take a look back on little steps and find that they've actually led somewhere.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I guess, let me ask you this. When you're feeling those kinds of ways, whether or not it's creatively or otherwise, do you feel, or have you experienced or witnessed in other people, that it's more difficult to take that first step to head towards the expanding that you know is happening on the other end, or it's harder to keep stepping?
So you mean like as far as what I do in that situation?
Yeah.
I've tried every different approach to anything like that. At this point, with everything I've got going on in my life, I'm a keep stepping type of person.
Yeah.
Because I just can't. I just so recently went through a lot of stuff,
mm-hmm.
You know, a couple years ago and leading into this year. And whenever I get near, like, whenever I see just like patterns of whatever that feeling is, I'm just like, I can't. There's a definite boundary of emotionally, I can't go to these places anymore.
Right.
I gotta go. I'm sorry. Maybe we'll figure it out later, you know?
Right. So then now this is the part where I'm really curious. And I think you've already somewhat answered this, but talk to me about how the creativity that you have plays into those moments.
All right. Oh, it's so huge. People who have, especially with people who have like a real pull in my life, like who mean a lot, because I'll stop what I'm doing for them, you know, for somebody that means a lot to me. I will stop, like, even if I've been working at it the whole whatever. So, like, knowing that I can't do that anymore and knowing that that's actually really unhealthy behavior. It's terrible for me. But getting close to it slows down my creative process because that stuff is all during my non-creative, you know, those feelings, those dramas, those lows, those circular sort of arguments are all part of not creating to me.
Yes.
And so when I see just signs of, okay, this isn't a place that has any space for creativity or for, there aren't new stories here. There's just a story. There's just, it depends on the person. But the thing is, if it's going the other direction, I have to cut it off because I'm going to be over there regardless. Like that's where I'm going. So like I can take a real long time to do it and be really, really thorough, or right now I have to go incredibly fast. So
So do you think that the creativity is a good anchor for you when these types of swings are happening?
It is. I think just, right now is a really hard time to think because I'm just coming from writing a whole lot.
Right.
To actually producing it now. But my head's still writing a lot. So, you know, these situations happen and they've happened over the past few months. And as I'm trying to change, like these, they're definitely giving me stories, but they're stories of like me breaking free. That it's almost all of my positive stories are like love letters to friends I can't be around anymore.
That's awesome.
And it's like sad. And hopefully one day that's like a binding thing or something, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm not even sure where I was going.
Well, talk to me a little bit about now, mm-hmm. this, when you've come back to writing, because I know this is something that you've just recently come back into getting the momentum behind again. So talk to me about this material that you've done and where you're at with this.
Well,
currently.
I feel like I'd be just doing myself a terrible injustice to not mention that I was a chronic alcoholic for years. And I only stopped that a year ago, just like last week.
Well, congratulations,
thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
I was born and raised in Wisconsin, so I know how that affects people, and I know what a struggle that is. So big ups,
definitely.
Man.
Appreciate it. It's took a long, I was quitting for years, you know?
Yes.
I didn't have any creativity during that time period. It was real dark. I don't remember much of it. And to come out of this and feel like a different person, but still have all these ties to people and you know, grudges held that of stuff you don't remember and things like that has been a whole lot to work through. And especially,
seems like it's somebody else almost.
Yeah, it's like, why did that guy do that? I have that thought a lot, you know. But I've seen videos of myself and stuff that just don't seem familiar. And
right.
I think that, you know, with that, it almost comes back into play with that having two things going on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's almost like this ability to, like, compartmentalize that so completely that I can honestly not call the memories of that time period very easily. They need to be jogged, you know, maybe an album or something.
Yeah.
You know,
it's somewhere between a purposeful and a necessary disassociation.
Whatever it is, I'm keeping it.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Mm-hmm. I've heard people express that before too.
Yeah, definitely.
So how does that lead into this batch of music you're working on now?
That leads to a person basically feeling like they were just born.
Awesome.
Just like a lot of the stuff that made me get better, even after I quit drinking, it was a little bit of a slow few months. And a lot of the stuff that helped me get better were like very natural things. Like, because I'm getting these MRIs and they're talking about medicine, all this stuff. I'm just like, this isn't really, I mean, it was helping, but, you know, this feels so different. I need something calming. And
right.
And so like a lot of that was like I started grounding. It had a major impact on my life. And
what do you mean by that?
The impact or grounding?
Grounding.
General? Oh, sorry. I speak about it so much that I am just used to it. It's just standing on the earth barefoot, basasically.
Nice. Okay.
Just, you know, nowhere special.
Literally attaching yourself to the vibration of it all.
Yeah, just grounding. Like from I don't know the science on it, but the viewpoint is that there's, you know, excess energy and you need to be grounded to just like, you know, any electricity.
Exactly.
To like offshoot that excess, that chaos, that whatever. And to also just like, you know, connect with your source and connect with the environment and the stuff that when you're connected with, you start to feel really good.
Yes.
So that led to just being outside all the time. And, oh, this year, too, once I started doing that, I dropped – I was very heavy in December. I lost 100 pounds this year.
God dang. Double congratulations.
Thank you. And I didn't do anything until, like, 80 pounds in, except for just whatever I would have done inside, I did outside. It's the strangest thing. So everything has been this beautiful, like, miracle. You know what I mean?
That's like, awesome.
I'm watching nature and I'm just like understanding the weather in different ways and just seeing how everything is, you know, it's fascinating. Like when you feel new again, I just don't know how often that is.
Rare.
People, you know? Yeah. I would guess very rare. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for better or for worse, your pendulum has to swing pretty far one way to be able to really truly have that feeling of, my pendulum's going back a new way now.
It definitely did. I mean, I was on hospice. They gave me a couple of days. That was like a little over 2 years ago.
Well, I'm glad you're still here, man.
Thank you. And yeah, and like, I don't take it like seriously. I mean, it was a thing. It happened. From my perspective, you know, I was very close to death and I sort of decided on a new set of priorities in my head. Like, I don't know if I had an experience that was genuine or if it was just, there's a lot of medicine, this guy's real sick, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But something where I felt like I could look at my life and see what I had done. And it wasn't a feeling of anger. I wasn't regretful. I just considered things and considered like, wow, it's really a shame that I got distracted by alcohol for so long. Like, that really wasn't what life was about. You know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have anything against alcohol. I know people can use it and be functional.
Fine.
And
yeah. Yeah.
If you see me out, I'm at every show and, you know. But yeah, that was, that was kind of a reframing for me. And then I still didn't get well for a while. But once I did, everything from that or that decision, like, made a whole lot of sense. And like, the priorities fell exactly in line with what I saw for that. Now, other people's role in that didn't, you know, doesn't allow necessarily me to live, you know, completely as what I would consider like quality time.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, no, we all have to do stuff, you know, but, the overall priorities are just like a new thing. And then to feel, for some reason, I feel like my, just, I felt so much younger. I mean, just immediately, and, you know, go figure, you take poison out of you.
Yeah. Right.
You know, I don't know, just all that stuff combined and with nature being involved and having it just be like the thing that's free and everywhere, I just sort of went towards everything that was involved with, you know, very natural things, whatever. And I feel like now, I feel like my creativity is just as natural as the whatever plant growing or whatever bird making a nest or, you know. It's just the thing that, that I do with our human self-awareness, you know, but I don't know.
It's funny you should say that. I've been, blessed to know a lot of people in my life that have had all kinds of struggles and come back from it. And, and a lot of them were creative people and they would describe to me, and I'm curious if you had a moment like this, it sounds maybe like you did. They described to me how when they tried to write or tried to be creative when they were using or suffering from addiction,
yeah,
it was, like you said, it was just foggy. It couldn't come out. Everything was just like somewhat off the mark. And they kind of felt that way, but still kept going through the motions. But then when they got their sobriety and clarity, and what made me think of this is you used the word prioritize. Right. When they were again able to prioritize themselves and their clarity, they talk about a moment where all of a sudden it was again that old familiar torrent of ideas all coming back. Mm. Did you have a moment where all of a sudden it was like, hey, there's all my ideas again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a couple definite moments. There was one that was like, it was honestly beautiful, but there were some moments where I just, well, one, when I started writing, like I had a song in my head that I was just like, I'm going to sit down and write this. And I hate the song. It was like the first thing I recorded. and it's so, it's like, I definitely, you tell I don't have energy and it's, you know, maybe a little forced, whatever. But I did it so quickly that I was like, oh, like that's, I remember when it was like that, you know, and it hadn't been since like 2007-08 when I was like prolific at living in Nashville. But so I noticed that, oh, wow, I can do pretty much everything that kid could do, you know. So that was really, really cool. And then I started trying to I started from scratch this year from nothing. So I'm trying to figure out my life while doing, you know, having these creative things. I also got really into woodworking. Like at the time, that was more interesting to me than the music, you know, so it wasn't really like, it was just getting things back, you know.
Right.
The other time, like this is when I realized I could do something with what I was writing. A lot of it was like about just this new beautiful world, like how amazing like nature is and stuff. But, you know, usually all my songs usually are love songs. So they're usually told through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
I just started, there's this one song and somebody, reminded me of it. And I thought about it for a few days and I remembered like the whole, at least the whole section that was important to it. And I had tried to write this song for a long time and I didn't actually finish it until like a month ago. But when I remembered that like stanza from that old song idea, it opened up like all this stuff of like, oh, wow. I bet. I don't know. There was just other songs like that that I totally had forgotten in that vein from a certain time when it was very emotional, very romantic, and very. And I had all these parts from them, so I just had would build around them. And so I started writing like that, and then that opened up this whole new, like, I call it, I've always tried to have this a little bit in my music, but this stuff specifically is, I call it goosebump music. So, like, the plan was to just make acoustic songs that I could sell. That was the plan this year. So I was writing these songs, and every time I would just come up with a moment in my head that would give, like, goosebumps. Like, I could see on stage, like, okay, this happens. You do this, and, like, not necessarily goosebumps, like, you know, the frisson, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Any kind of feeling.
Right.
So I started writing around those, and that's a whole new world for me because that's a much broader, accessible world. I can do simple things in there, and just in a more, I guess, broad pop sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Very loose chord progressions, or very simple ones, or repetitive ones that are just, you know, low and then high, just dynamics, you know. But creating feelings versus necessarily trying to say something.
Ah.
That's been a real new thing. But that's allowed me to see my growth as an artist tremendously, because if I'm coming from garage rock and just everything that comes out of my body is just say it, you know, make a little chord progression and scream
yeah.
over it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of legs, like, in that formula.
Yeah, there is. I still got that formula down too. So I've got that stuff going too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this stuff is like definitely more mature songwriting, and I can tell I'm thinking about it in such a way that it like I said, I'm starting over this year, so I need a job. So, like, I'm thinking of it in terms of, like, how can I get back into music, because that's the last like job I would have had, you know, before, like, getting really, really sick.
Right.
So I just decided to, like, go into that. But creatively, it's been so fulfilling because it's, like, this, like, love, this, like, mature, almost, like, father-like thing that I've never felt before. It's just, I don't know.
That's wonderful. The magic in the sauce right there.
Right? Right.
It's That's so cool.
But it happens to appeal to a broader audience. And, and I even think possibly to the key demographic in Sarasota. You know, I think it has legs that way. And it's genuine perspective, despite, you know, being definitely, you know, audibly broader, you know.
Well, genuine is important, and that's a tough commodity these days.
I hope it still matters.
Yeah, amen to that.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like you and I could probably talk for about 2 or 3 hours. We probably got a couple subjects to mow through,
cool.
or expand upon. But I'll let you get out of here on something kind of. I usually say get you out of here on something fun, but maybe this will be kind of easier.
Okay.
With this new body of work that you're putting out, that's kind of reflecting of your starting over. Coming at you with some old perspectives, or I should say old talents in a new way, all of this new freshness coming for you. What are you hoping that the people that get to listen to this when you're all said and done with it take away from it?
I want first and foremost for people to know that their situation, no matter what it is, can be completely changed. That they can, that the things that they aspire to are not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
The dreams that they have are so tangible, and they do require work, and they do require almost obsession and desperation sometimes, but that doesn't, those things won't matter if you truly are attaining or trying to get the things that you truly want and be the person that you truly want, the worst you'll do is fall a little bit short of that. And that's a much better person and a much better place. So, you know, I hope my message is, okay, if this, not even my message, just maybe my symbol is a guy who's basically dead and came back with just, hopefully a lot of love. And maybe that example can just show people that, like, I didn't have a lot of success with all my anger. I didn't have a lot going, and I don't have a lot of success now. But the doors have certainly opened up a lot faster with being who I really want to be, which is, you know.
Amen
to that. It's still aspirational. I still have the balance. I still have the dark. But, you know, falling just short of who you want to be is still pretty good.
Amen to that, brother. Hey, yeah. That is really valuable insight. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming down and sharing it.
Anytime.
Man, I was going to say, you're okay with the fam now. You're in. Once you've been here, once you're in.
All right. So, I feel good about it.
Yeah. when the record comes out, we'll touch base again. And
definitely.
Anything you got going on, man, I appreciate it so much. I'm grateful for your insights. Thank you, brother.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, yep. Yeah.